Eighth Canto, Chapter 15, Bali Maharaj Conquers the Universe. Who likes to read? Who has a good voice for reading? Okay, you're elected. Here you go. They don't pay me enough for me to do all the work. You can read the chapter summary. You get a microphone.
Bali Maharaj conquers the heavenly planets. This chapter describes how Bali, after performing the Vishvajit Yajna, received the benediction of a chariot and various kinds of paraphernalia for war, with which he attacked the King of Heaven. All the demigods, being afraid of him, left the heavenly planets and went away, following the instructions of their guru. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to understand how Lord Vamanadev, on the plea of taking 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj, took everything away from him and arrested him. Shukadev Goswami responded to this inquiry with the following explanation. In the fight between the demons and the demigods, as described in the 11th chapter of this canto, Bali was defeated and he died in the fight, but by the grace of Shukracharya, he regained his life. Thus he engaged himself in the service of Shukracharya, his spiritual master. The descendants of Bhrigu, being pleased with him, engaged him in the Vishvajit Yajna. When this Yajna was performed, from the fire of Yajna came a chariot, horses, a flag, a bow, armor, and 2 quivers of arrows. Maharaj Prahlad, Bali Maharaj's grandfather, gave Bali an eternal garland of flowers, and Shukracharya gave him a conch shell. Bali Maharaj, after offering obeisances to Prahlad, the Brahmanas, and his spiritual master Shukracharya, equipped himself to fight with Indra, and went to Indrapuri with his soldiers. Blowing his conch shell, he attacked the outskirts of Indra's kingdom. When Indra saw Bali Maharaj's prowess, he went to his own spiritual master, Brihaspati, told him about Bali's strength, and inquired about his duty. Brihaspati informed the demigods that because Bali had been endowed with extraordinary power by the Brahmanas, the demigods could not fight with him. Their only hope was to gain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, there was no alternative. Under the circumstances, Brihaspati advised the demigods to leave the heavenly planets and keep themselves somewhere invisible. The demigods followed his orders, and Bali Maharaj, along with his associates, gained the entire kingdom of Indra. The descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being very affectionate to their disciple Bali Maharaj, engaged him in performing 100 Ashvamedha Yajnas. In this way, Bali enjoyed the opulences of the heavenly planets.
With a good northern accent, too. Pleasure to hear. Maharaj Parikshit inquired, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the proprietor of everything. Why did he beg 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj, like a poor man? And when he got the gift for which he had begged, why did he nonetheless arrest Bali Maharaj? I am very much anxious to know the mystery of these contradictions." Om Agyanati Nirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrasatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindabaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopitarubhyascha Kripasindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vash Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Dama Hare Dama Rama Rama Hare Hare Oh, Parikshit Maharaj had two questions. The first was that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the owner of everything. So why is it then that he went begging from Bali Maharaj? You wouldn't expect... who is that author? J.K. Rowling, right? You wouldn't expect her to be begging from someone, could I have 3 paces of land? She's the richest lady in the kingdom. Why would she beg for anything? The poor people may go begging. That's understood. They are in want of basic necessities. So they may have no alternative but to beg. But why would a rich person go begging? And especially, why would the richest person beg? The Supreme Personality of Godhead watches millions of J.K. Rowlings come and go in every manvantara or in every day of Brahma. So why would he beg? That appears to be curious. So the king asked about that. And then the second question, all right, Bali Maharaj gave what was asked for, then why did the Lord arrest him? That also seems, if he'd failed, no, I can't give it to you, or I've promised, but I won't, then we might think the Lord would arrest him. But the Bali gave what was asked for, then why did the Lord arrest him? That appears curious also. So the king placed these questions before his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. He didn't just bury the questions. Well, it must make sense somehow or other. He was genuinely inquisitive. First thing is, he was listening carefully. Those who don't listen carefully may not even notice the contradictions. They're half asleep or three quarters or 100% asleep. And whatever contradictions are there, just kind of go by. But the king was listening with rapt attention, and therefore, at once he noticed that there are these discrepancies, the contradictions. So he noticed them, and naturally he was curious to know what's the reason for these things. There must be some reason. Everything's somehow reasonable. So what were the reasons? The king was confident that his spiritual master could answer, and so he placed these questions for clarification. Not in a challenging way, but wondering why these contradictions. And that means this is the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. The duty of the disciple is to place his questions before the spiritual master. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya. Pariprasna means questions, relevant questions, not foolish questions, relevant questions. And the duty of the spiritual master is to answer the questions. Yes. So, Shishuku Vacha, Parajita Shir Ashubhish Chahapito Indrena Rajan Brigubhi Sajivita Sarvatmana Tan Abhajad Brigun Palihi Shishyo Mahatmartha Nivedanena. Shukadev Goswami said, O King, when Bali Maharaj lost all his opulence and died in the fight, Shukracharya, a descendant of Bhrighu Muni, brought him back to life. Because of this, the great soul Bali Maharaj became a disciple of Shukracharya and began to serve him with great faith, offering everything he had. This was the power of Shukracharya, the descendant of Bhrighu Muni, that even though Bali Maharaj had died in the fight, he could bring Bali back to life. There's an Ayurvedic medicine called Mrityu Sanjeevani, which gets its name from that capability, although the medicine can't really do that. It's mostly liquor, as far as I recall. And it's not recommended. Unless you've died, then you can take it. So Bali Maharaj took the attitude of the disciple. Becoming a disciple is not simply a formality, but one adopts a certain mentality, a certain mood, and certain mode of action. So that's illustrated here, that the Bali Maharaj began to serve his spiritual master with great faith and offering everything he had. Samatpani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam Tadvigyanartam Sagurumeva Bigachet Gachet Samatpani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam. One who was serious about the ultimate goal of life, Vigyanartam, must approach a bona fide spiritual master. And Samadpani means with firewood in his hands. In the old days, the brahmacharis would go and collect firewood for the sacrifices performed by the spiritual master. Now we don't expect firewood. generally the disciples offer cash. Checks. Or whatever they can give, flowers, some rice, something should be offered according to what the disciple may have. And Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, the disciple, the spiritual master should come in the disciplic succession of Shrotriyam. He should have heard from the previous Acharya. And Brahmanishtam, he should have full faith in Krishna. These are the qualifications. Of course, we know from elsewhere that Shukracharya's qualification was not exactly spiritual, but he was one of the, he was a Kula Guru, a family guru. Shukra means semen. He was coming in the line. His father was a guru. So he was, you can say, occupationally a guru. He was in the guru business. And in fact, we'll find later that that was quite high on his agenda. The donations of the disciple were important to him. And therefore we find that Bali Maharaj later rejects him, not just because Shukracharya was after donations, but because he rejected the request of the personality of Godhead, or advised the disciple to reject the request of the personality of Godhead. Tam Brahmana Bhrigava Priyamana Ayajayan Vishvajita Trinakam Jagishamanam Vidinabhishitcha Shitcha Mahabhishekena Mahanubhava. The Brahmin descendants of Bhrigu Muni were very pleased with Bali Maharaj, who desired to conquer the kingdom of Indra. Therefore, after purifying him and properly bathing him, according to regulative principles, they engaged him in performing the yajna known as Viswajit. Tato rata kanchana patanadho hayaschayar Hayaschahar Yashva Turanga Varnaha Dvajascha Singhena Virajamano Utashanad Ashahavir Birishtat. When ghee, clarified butter, was offered in the fire of sacrifice, there appeared from the fire a celestial chariot covered with gold and silk. There also appeared yellow horses, like those of Indra, and a flag marked with a lion. The sacrifices were powerful. Tanuscha divyam puritopanadham tunav ariktau kavacham cha divyam pitamahastasya dadau chamalam Anglana Pushpam Jalajang Chashukraha. A gilded bow, two quivers of infallible arrows, and celestial armor also appeared. Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, offered Bali a garland of flowers that would never fade, and Shukracharya gave him a conch shell. So he was blessed by his superiors, by the Bhargavas, by Prahlad Maharaj, by Shukracharya. Evangsa viprajita yodhanartas taikolpitas vaschayanota vipran pradakshini kritya krita pranama praradam amantriya namaschakara. When Maharaj Bali had thus performed the special ritualistic ceremony advised by the Brahmins and had received, by their grace, the equipment for fighting, he circumambulated the Brahmins and offered them obeisances. He also saluted Prahlad Maharaj and offered obeisances to him. Respectful behavior. Ataruhya ratam divyam prigu dattam maharata susvagtaro. Ataruhya ratam divyam prigu dattam maharataha susvagtarota sannaya dhanvi kadgi trishedu driteshudhi hemangada lasad bahu Spuran makkara kundalaha raraja ratam arudho jishnyastha iva havyavat. Then, after getting on the chariot given by Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj, decorated with a nice garland, put protective armor on his body, equipped himself with a bow, and took up a sword and a quiver of arrows. When he sat down on the seat of the chariot, his arms decorated with golden bangles and his ears with sapphire earrings, he shone like a worshipable fire. Tulyaishvarya bala shri bhi svayutair daichayutapai pibad bhir ivakang drig bhir darad bhi paridhin iva. Vrito vikarshan mahatim asurim dvajinim vipu yayav indrapurim sridham kampayan nivarodasi. When he assembled with his own soldiers and the demon chiefs, who were equal to him in strength, opulence, and beauty, they appeared as if they would swallow the sky and burn all directions with their vision. After thus gathering the demoniac soldiers, Bali Maharaj departed for the opulent capital of Indra. Indeed, he seemed to make the entire surface of the world tremble. Ramyam upavanodhyanai srimadbhir nandanadibhi kujad vihanga mitunair Gayan Mutta Madhuvratahi Pravala Pala Pushpuru Para Shakamara Drumahi. King Indra's city was full of pleasing orchards and gardens, such as the Nandana garden. Because of the weight of the flowers, leaves, and fruits, the branches of the eternally existing trees were bending down. The gardens were visited by pairs of chirping birds and singing bees. The entire atmosphere was celestial. So here we're going to get a description of Indra's city, Indrapuri, and its opulences. Amaradrumai, eternal trees. Amaradrumai, eternal trees. The planets of heaven are sometimes called Amarloka, the place where there's no death. The demigods are also sometimes called Amar, deathless. This is an exaggeration. Just like these days, something mildly impressive is called awesome. It doesn't really inspire awe but it's a way of saying that it's good. So the demigods are called deathless, not because they don't die, but because they live an exceedingly long time by our calculation. So it seems as if they'll never die. Just like sometimes a great soccer player or cricket player or baseball player is called immortal. Immortal. And 10 years later, 20 years later, certainly 100 years later, no one has any idea who he was. But it's said in that way. Sometimes people will always remember your great accomplishment, and then it's gone. Nobody has any idea what the great accomplishment was. Name a great cricket player from 1900. They're all gone. Even their names have been washed away by the waves of material nature. So it appears that these gardens and these trees and the birds and all of these wonderful features of Indraloka last forever. But they don't. Nor can one stay on Indraloka. Kshine punye marcha lokam vishanti. When one's pious credits run out, one has to come down again to marcha loka. The world of death. That is to say, the place where we live. They're all places of death. Abrahma bhuvanal loka punarvartino arjuna. But by comparison to our circumstance, the demigods and the stuff in their planets are said to be immortal.
Hamsa sadasa chakrava karandava kula kula nalinyo yatra kridanti pramada surasevita. Beautiful women protected by the demigods sported in the gardens, which had lotus ponds full of swans, cranes, chakravakas, and ducks.
So that's also necessary. If you have a beautiful opulent scene, there should be beautiful trees, beautiful birds, beautiful flowers, beautiful trees, and beautiful women. Without beautiful women, none of the rest of it really counts.
Akasha gangaya devya vritam parikha bhutaya prakarenagni agni varnena sattaleno natena cha.
The city was surrounded by trenches full of Ganges water, known as Akasha Ganga, and by high wall, which was the color of fire. Upon this wall were parapets for fighting. Even in Indraloka, you have to fight to protect your scene.
Rukmapatta kapataischa dwarai spatika gopurahi jushtam vibhakta prapatam vishvakarma vinirmitam. The doors were made of solid gold plates, and the gates were of excellent marble. These were linked by various public roads. The entire city had been constructed by Vishvakarma.
Sabha chatvararatyadyam vimanair nyarbudair yutam shringatakair manimayair Vajra Vidruma Vedipi.
The city was full of courtyards, wide roads, assembly houses, and not less than 100 million airplanes. The crossroads were made of pearl, and there were sitting places made of diamond and coral.
The air traffic controllers must have been very busy.
Yatra nitya vayo rupa shama virajavasa saha brajante rupavan naryo yarchir bhir iva vanayaha.
Everlastingly beautiful and youthful women who were dressed with clean garments glittered in the city like fires with flames. They all possessed the quality of Shama.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a hint of the quality of the Shama woman.
Shitakale paved ushna, ushmakale shushitalaha, stanao sukantinao yasam, tasyama parikirtadaha.
A woman whose body is very warm during the winter and cool during the summer, and who generally has very firm breasts, is called Shama. The women here are also called
Nityavayo Rupa.
Ever beautiful and young,
Nitya. That's also a contrast to the planets where we live, where women are young when they're young and old when they're old.
These are all
calculations of sense gratification. The heavenly planets are meant for sense gratification. And the sense gratification is of a very high standard, and it lasts for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and then it's over. The demigods are bewildered by these things. Muyanti yatsurayaha. And on our planet, it doesn't require such a high standard. People are bewildered anyway. So Krishna consciousness is meant to enable one to become asamuddha, asamuddha samartyeshu, unbewildered amongst those who are meant for death. Okay. Questions?